The spirit of rotation. Rotation happens, and when new people come in, they don't feel qualified. And
Yes.
we get to be unqualified until we become qualified.
The thing about the not being qualified is there is a saying in service that God doesn't choose the qualified, he qualifies the chosen.
I heard it through the grapevine.
Welcome. It's the AA Grapevine Half Hour Variety Hour featuring the collected voices of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm Don, an alcoholic in Greensboro, North Carolina.
And I am Alice, an alcoholic in the wilderness. I'm still moving around, Don. I'm still moving around. So, Don, we got an interesting letter from Carolyn. Here's a slightly edited version for time.
I want to hear success stories from districts that have succeeded in revitalizing their districts, getting groups participating, etc. Over the last few years, I've heard so much about money and authority and so little about participation, engagement, and generating enthusiasm to fulfill our primary purpose. I hear comments about the districts and groups having no engagement regularly. Meanwhile, DCMs tell stories of great work being done. It is hopeful, inspiring, and future leadership focused. A topic idea came to me after discussions with three DCMs from three different areas this weekend, all of whom have been making great strides to revitalize their districts. I think a feature on this would be appreciated.
Thank you, Carolyn. We absolutely agree with you. This is a
Yeah.
great, great topic. You know, I would say that most people, I'll include myself in the group, couldn't really explain to you clearly what a DCM does. I've never done work really outside the group level. How about you, Don?
Yes, I have. Not for a long time. I was GSR for my home group in my second year of sobriety. And 27 years later,
27 years later,
I decided to do it again.
Okay.
And because when I was GSR the first time, I went to the district meetings and the assembly, and it was not for me. I thought it was tedious, people herding cats, and it's like, I'm glad there's someone who can deal with this, but it's not me. Well, then, when I returned to service work again, I could see how it's all connected together and how all of the people who are doing the work at the lower levels of the triangle, because we talk about an upside down triangle, that how those people are just garden variety drunks who are volunteering to do difficult work to help all of AA.
Yeah.
And my DCM, well, I guess we got to describe what it even a district is.
And it may be best to start with the basic structure, which is our upside down triangle. At the top of the triangle,
the broad part of the triangle.
The broad part of the triangle is the group. All of the members are at the top. And then under that, because all the members can't come to a meeting and vote, we have people that the group selects to represent them.
The GSR.
And the GSRs go to meetings that are in their district.
In our area, it's the city of Greensboro. So that district elects a chairperson, and that's the DCM.
And then the DCMs go to a convening of the DCMs, which is the area.
And the GSRs and the DCMs go to the area.
Yep.
They elect a delegate.
And that delegate represents the voice of that entire collection of people.
And then the delegates go to the General Service Conference, which meets once a year. And the General Service Conference is where the group conscience of AA becomes real.
Yes, but it's put into action. You know, and unlike you, Don, like I've spent my entire recovery doing work at the group level.
Right.
And it's never too late to actually step into that district level of service.
Well, there are positions open. Operators are standing by. Well, who are our guests today? We have two.
Yeah. So today we have Patrick M. from Vancouver in the state of Washington in the US of A. And we have Dawn F. from Port Coquitlam. You say that twice.
Coquitlam.
Coquitlam. Yes, and Vancouver, British Columbia. So we're really excited to have them both here because both are qualified to talk about their local districts and the vital work that's going on there and how they've been able to keep it alive and thriving.
Both of them are sober, I understand.
Yeah, I think they're sober.
What are the Grapevine's most popular books? Emotional Sobriety 1 and 2. Both are filled with experiences by sober AA members, many with long-term sobriety, about the positive transformations we can achieve by practicing the principles of the program in all aspects of our lives. The stories show how the rewards are serenity, emotional balance, and an increased joy for living. Visit aagrapevine.org/books.
My sobriety date is June 23rd, 2003, and my home group is Monday Night Pitt Meadows in Pitt Meadows, BC. And I am the DCM for District 41, Area 79.
We're so glad you're here.
Hi, my name is Patrick. I'm an alcoholic. My home group is the McGillivray Study Group in Vancouver, Washington. My sobriety date is November 2nd of 2015. And my current service position is DCM of District 7 in Area 72. And Area 72 is Western Washington. And District 7 runs along the Columbia River from Vancouver to Camas, Washougal, Stevenson, Carson. It's a beautiful spot to be.
Dawn, tell us how you came to AA. How did you give up drinking?
I spent a lot of time trying to not be an alcoholic, actually. I come from a long line of alcoholics. Despite that, by the time I was 19, I knew there was something really wrong with my drinking. And I still kept going for 4 more years. You know, nothing big and dramatic. It was just another day, and I was 4:30 in the morning, and I had to try to figure out how to get up for work at 6 a.m., and I couldn't go to sleep. I was still going to be drunk, all that stuff. And on my way home, unfortunately drinking and driving, I'm trying to figure this all out. And I'm like, you know what? I give up. I just give up. And I realized, no matter how much I tried to have control, I did not have control, that I was going to have to go to AA. I did have a couple of sober grandparents, so I knew that AA existed, but I didn't know much about it. The first time I can really see God's hand in my sobriety, because literally as I hung my head in realization that my whole life was over as far as I was concerned, the car stopped short in front of me and I rear-ended it and I totaled my car. So it's almost like, because I had had those moments of clarity before. So it was almost like, God's like, in case you change your mind later, nope, right, we're going to make that really hard for you. I was very close to home. And when I got home, I called my grandparents. And they made an hour-long drive to come and pick me up. And they helped me detox. They started me on my journey. My grandma tricked me into my first AA meeting.
I love that she tricked you.
What's the trick?
She had said that she was not going to make me go. My plan was to go to treatment and to learn how to never drink again. And that was going to be the end of it. And then she was like, well, since you're waiting to go in, why don't you? And we'll just drive by the club and, oh, we'll just go into the club. Don't worry. I'm not going to tell anybody that you're new. And Chilliwack's a very small town. It's not a lot of sobriety there. It was really obvious that I was new.
Yeah, right.
And I was decades younger than everybody else in the room. Yeah. Yeah, but I was really grateful that she did. It started my journey. And then
wait, did you identify?
I actually didn't. I had a really hard time with everything. I think a lot of people with a religious background might struggle. And I did. I, you know, first things I saw God on the wall and, you know, things about prayer and you know, essentially atonement as far as I was seeing it. And the basket being passed like a tithe and the serenity prayer. And I was just like, what is
too close
this
to church?
Yes. My grandparents, I absolutely respected them and who they were so much. And I knew that this was how they had managed to get sober for decades. I reluctantly, very reluctantly started doing just enough AA. A lot of beginning of my sobriety is doing just enough to not be in pain. I was not one of those people that came and was like, I love this and it's great and here are my answers. It was like, how is this where I ended up? And why is this my life now? Why couldn't
When
I do this
when
enough?
did this change for you?
Service, actually. It started actually with a home group. People wouldn't leave me alone. They forced me to talk to them. They forced me to get to know them. And, you know, and as much as I kind of hated it, there was something inside of me that loved it. I felt like I was wanted. And so I made that my home group. And it was a group that was extremely active in all aspects of AA. At least being willing to put up my hand and say yes, even when I didn't want to, made me feel like I had a purpose. I was earning my seat and I belonged. Service is just infectious. My goal was just to make it 1 year. And literally when I got to my year, I'm like, well, this isn't so bad. Let's just keep going and see how it goes. And here we are 20 years later.
Yes, and here we are.
Yeah.
Patrick, why did you come? What kept you here?
It was a brutal experience for me getting sober. I didn't know anybody who had gotten sober. I didn't know anybody who had been involved in AA. So it wasn't on my radar. It was a thing I kind of knew from seeing in TV shows here and there. I've had my fair share of very bad experiences, but the clear turning point for me that I remember was I had a clear plan one day. I was out of town for work. And oh, by the way, at that point, I'm living with my mom for the last 9 months because I have no money and life is not going well. But I managed to kind of get this job back again, get another chance. And I had gone out to San Francisco for work. And my plan was I'm going to go to this restaurant, have a couple drinks, have dinner, and then go back to this apartment that my company rented and let my coworkers in. And I did the first part. I went to the restaurant, I had a couple drinks, and I had dinner. And, you know, then the night just completely went off the rails. And so I woke up the next morning, and what was different for me that time versus many times before, and I had had many nights that I woke up the next morning and thought, I don't know how I'm alive today, right? And sincerely meaning that. That morning, what was different, for the first time, I was terrified of what was going to happen the next time I drank. It was always, I was scared what happened last night. And the morning of November 2nd, I was deeply convinced of two things. One is that the next time I drink, it's going to kill me. And two, I'm drinking tonight and there's nothing I can do about it.
Wow.
And
the jumping off place.
Yeah.
The jumping off place. In that moment, I closed my eyes and asked for help. And I called my dad, who was in Washington, and I told him I wanted to see him. I want to see you tonight. And I flew up there. I told him some stuff about what had been going on. And he's like, you need to start thinking that you're an alcoholic. He offered to buy me a book about alcoholism. We went to the bookstore and there was Alcoholics Anonymous. And there was another book like How to Stay Sober 21 Days Without AA. And I was like, well, what about day 22? And I picked up the AA book and I read it, and it talked about the physical allergy, which just completely explained how I drank. And it talked about the mental obsession. And it's like, this is what I've been feeling, you know, for 13 years. And then it talked about the jumping off place and knowing loneliness, such as few do, and wishing for the end. I was like, this is exactly how I feel. And none of the stuff made any sense. None of the stuff in between all that made any sense to me. So I was like, I'll go to these meetings and see what these people want, because they know how I drink. And I didn't know anybody who knew how I drank.
I have met very few people who bought the book Alcoholics Anonymous at a bookstore.
Me neither. I've never seen it in a bookstore before.
I'm really impressed by that, Patrick. So when you finally get to a meeting, do you feel at home?
I was so scared and so overwhelmed with what I was going to try to do with my life that that first meeting was just hard. It was just so hard to go to. I remember it was a bunch of old people, and I looked around and I was like, I don't think I'm in the right place.
It's always old people.
You know?
Always the
it's
old
always
people.
Old people. But I remember that the stories they told were like, okay, they know what they're talking about. And then I did a little bit of math and I was like, you know, and they told how long they were sober. And I was like, if I'm sober as long as they are, I'll be as old as they are.
That's right.
So like, but then somebody said something that it just made a huge impression. They said, you know, you've hit rock bottom when you decide to stop digging. Those first few meetings, I was living in Utah at the time with my mom. So, you know, living in Utah, last drink in San Francisco, first night sober in Washington. And I was so amazed at these people's ability to stay sober for any period of time that I almost didn't go back to Utah. Because I was like, I don't know if they know how to do this there.
Right. These people know how to do it here.
Right. I mean, I've been sober 4 days right? And I've never been sober 4 consecutive days. And these people are talking about years. And I don't know if I should leave. But I did. I went back home to Utah, and I was very fortunate to get connected with a group that was very focused on the steps, traditions, and concepts. This first group I went to, they said, you know, in AA, service is very important. Why don't you put the chairs away after the meeting for the next month?
That's service work.
Service work. And I was so dejected and scared, but they knew what I didn't know, what that it would help. And my first sponsor was like, hey, as long as we work together, we're going to work through the book and do the steps, and you're going to have a home group and participate in the business meeting and have a service commitment at all times. And we participate in 3 legacies. And so some of it, I think, is luck of the draw. If I walked in this meeting, that people showed me these things right off the bat, and just kind of grew.
Hey, we got an email from David C. on the ICKYPA host committee. David writes, howdy, y'all. The 64th International Conference for Young People in AA, ICKYPA, will be in Austin, Texas this year from July 4th through the 7th. We'll have people coming from all over the world joining us in the sunlight of the spirit. We'll have speakers, panels, and various entertainment. You can register at the64thICKYPA.org. We can't wait to see you. David also notes that they're offering a virtual conference for anybody who can't make it in person. Again, that website address is the64thICYPAA.org, the64thICKYPA.org.
What are the 3 legacies? I've heard that expression a lot. I actually know what they are, but...
Yeah, recovery, unity, and service, right? Recovery, program of the 12 steps, unity, my participation in the fellowship, and then service. And each of these has a set of 12 principles. We got the steps for recovery, we got the traditions for the fellowship, and we got the 12 concepts for service.
There's a joke with that. The 12 steps prevent me from committing suicide, the 12 traditions prevent me from committing homicide, and the 12 concepts prevent me from committing genocide.
I like it. No, that's great. It's the way I think of it is that the 12 steps help me be useful to God's other kids. The 12 traditions help my group be useful to whichever of God's kids walks in the door that day. And the 12 concepts helps AA as a whole be useful to all God's kids out there who may need what we have to offer, whether they are alcoholics or not. Because a lot of our service is about approaching people who aren't alcoholics and going, hey, you know and love alcoholics, send them our way. We got something for them.
That's right. You know, I would love to hear from you, Don, how your work in the district has kept you personally sober. Like, what's it meant to your personal sobriety?
Everything, honestly. I have done all different levels of service, starting at the home group and working my way down, stopping at DCM though. Actually started with, I think I was about 1.5 years sober or something. And the sponsor that I had at the time, who's actually my sponsor again now, she's like, hey, I'm going to this thing in Kitchen, BC, come on a road trip. I was like, sure. And it turned out I went to an assembly, area assembly.
You got tricked again.
She got tricked again.
I get tricked a lot. I also became secretary of the district when I was an alternate GSR, and I wasn't even at that meeting. I got a phone call saying, everybody's staring at me. Are you going to say yes? I'm like, okay. So I went. She was very involved in the service. I didn't really know much about the different levels and area and all that stuff. I had no idea what I was doing there. I had no idea what they were doing. All I know is I had never felt so sure God had his hand on AA. Like, they're talking about remote communities, and we're trying to figure out how to reach to those people who are alone in like the one person that's in Faro in the territories and stuff. And then there was also something to do with Alaska. And I don't know what it was, but they're not in our area. But the conversation was that we didn't have money to participate in whatever was happening there. Somebody got up and spoke, minority voice, right? Some of this, the concepts, right? They'd already discussed this, and a minority voice came up and said, again, bringing it back to the traditions about that alcoholic who's still suffering. And if money is what's going to stop us, then I'll put in more money now. And he took off his hat and he put on money. They passed around the room and everybody gladly gave more money. And I had Goosebumps. I still get goosebumps.
I can hear the emotion in your voice with it.
And to watch hundreds of alcoholics who are selfish and self-centered just come together for that common purpose. And I've seen it so many times in General Level, which is what we refer to like area in the districts and stuff. Flip. There's no way that God doesn't have this.
Right.
And it has offered me so much calmness and comfort. So from that trip, oh, we need an alternate GSR. Okay.
Right.
And I got to be a very active alternate GSR. And I was secretary of the district. And I stepped in as the GSR. And then I became a DCM actually at that time, which was a very different experience than this time. Talk about the complaining. You were talking about how there's a lot of people that just see it as the politics of AA or the grind and it's boring and this and that. And I understand that. And I totally feel that sometimes. But the passion, the drive, and even in the tedious work, knowing the end result and how it goes to the General Service Conference and how that stuff's put into action and how every voice is so important, I don't care that it's tedious. In fact, the longer I do it, the less tedious it is.
That's interesting. You know, I was talking to my DCM about it being tedious. And in fact, I was saying, you know, it's both at times incredibly fascinating and then, but most of the time, very kind of boring. And she said, well, I think it becomes less boring and tedious when I begin to see how it's all connected together. And this is the way that AA has survived.
Exactly. I find the same too, is knowing that these conversations will result in more literature or something that is needed to pass the message on to the alcoholic. And then within my own district, the revitalization that has happened, that so when I'm sitting in front of my computer for hours doing a bunch of work, knowing that people appreciate it and there's so much more liveliness and a passion for AA as a result of it gives me the gas in the tank to keep going.
I like that. Patrick, how do we generate enthusiasm? How have you done it in your district?
That's a big question. And frankly, I shy away from taking credit for that. But what I will say is, I believe I'm pretty enthusiastic about service.
Uh-huh.
You mentioned earlier people complaining about service and stuff. And I hear that from time to time. And certainly I approach people all the time that I know in groups and I say, hey, why don't you come check out one of our district meetings? And sometimes they go, no, I'm never going to, I hate. And I'm like, okay, great. I'm not trying to change your mind. I'm extending an invitation, right? But I promise you, for every person out there who really dislikes AA service, there's at least 10, but probably closer to 100 people in AA that love it. And they're all at the district meeting and they're all at the area assemblies. First time I was a central office representative, and I had the same experience when I was first a GSR. I went to the central office meeting and I went to the district meeting, and I was blown away because there were so many people at those meetings that I really admired and looked up to from the AA meetings I went to. And they weren't talking about all the service stuff they were doing. It was just, and look, everybody has their own different vibe, but for me, it was just a high concentration of the people that I was already paying attention to. And so then first area meeting, being overwhelmed, looking at this going, man, for decades, people have been showing up doing this. So it was available the day that I needed it. Right? And telling the truth, I had groups that said, hey, we've all done this before. You're new. You've been putting chairs away. You've been making coffee. Would you want to do it? Right. And that I love this experience. And sometimes, you know, it's work, it's real work. But I look at the work that you both have done on this podcast for so long. And it's like, I really appreciate all the time and energy you put in to getting the stories and sharing the stories of AA. I also know that you're having a really good time, right? And that's the reality of AA service. It's work, it's real, but we show up and we do it and people appreciate it and it's a good time. And so that's kind of about me, but more about other people, I'd say is, one, I invite people. I just say, just come check it out, you know? And if you like it, this is attraction rather than promotion, right? That's to me what it's about. People are going to get there and they're going to dig it or they're not. And if they dig it, they're going to stay. And if they're not, they're going to go. Another big thing for me, I think, especially like as a DCM is an interesting position where I develop an intuition of how our district is feeling and experiencing. And I talk with people and stuff, but you just see people's faces. And so sometimes meetings are kind of tedious. And like there was a thing that happened in Utah, and it was kind of happening here too, where GSRs would report, this is my group. We meet on these days. We have this many people. We hope you come. And like spend 15 minutes on that. And everybody's kind of grumbling. And I go, hey, what if we do new business at the beginning? And GSR reports are optional, and we'll do written reports from. We started doing a 2-minute timer thing, and these are scary for me to do, right? Changing them, saying, hey, I'm only going to give
Yes.
you 2 minutes to talk.
Yeah, the weight of tradition and inertia is to not change.
Change anything. Yeah.
Yeah. And I would ask people, and I'd say, hey, how long do you want the district meeting to be max, right? And they said, we'd like it to be an hour, but stop it at 90 minutes, no more than that, right? And okay, so how are we going to do that, right? You get 2 minutes, and if we don't finish business, we talk about it next month.
I love it.
And the other big thing for me is really recognizing every person that walks through that door, whether they are a GSR, a standing committee chair, a past trusted servant, or an AA member just coming to check it out. We are the people that are going to keep AA alive for the person who desperately needs it, you know, and it's people that we love that may need it one day. And to just thank everybody who's coming in and show them this is what's going on in AA. You don't have to do a whole lot to stimulate interest because AA is incredibly interesting and stimulating in its own right. You go, this is what's going on in AA. What do you think? And then they come back and they
Yeah,
got
that
opinions
is
and they contribute.
beautiful.
Don and Patrick, I want to just say that you have been inspirational. And so, as we're closing up, I wonder if each of you can offer one bit of advice for anybody that's thinking about it, district level service, but hasn't yet taken the step. Patrick?
Yeah, it's you're not alone. You don't have to figure it out. Alcoholics have come before you, have done this job, and cannot wait to help share it with you.
That's great. Dawn?
Moving forward into an unknown will always bring new, different results. And service will take your recovery to a level cannot be achieved in any other way.
Wow.
Rocketed into the fourth dimension.
Rocketed. That is right. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your service and for showing up on Sunday.
The Grapevine and Lavinia apps are now available for both iOS and Android phones.
To get yours, go to the App Store on your phone and search for AA Grapevine or Lavinia.
Is it too late for me to get another cup of coffee? Shh, no, go ahead. I'm starting a new pot anyway. How long have you been making the coffee for this meeting?
Ever since the night I complained about the coffee to my sponsor.
Thanks for joining us. The AA Grapevine Half Hour Variety Hour is posted every Monday and is produced by AA Grapevine, Inc. We don't speak for AA as a whole. We share the experience, strength, and hope of members to help others recover from alcoholism. Podcast info, including how to call in, is at aagrapevine.org/podcast. Search AA Grapevine in the App Store on your phone or find AA Grapevine on Instagram and YouTube. All things Grapevine are available at aagrapevine.org. If you want to know more about AA, search online for Alcoholics Anonymous in your city or visit aa.org.
That was freaking amazing.